Known for their old-school barbershop vibe, Lather & Fade offers world-class cuts. Whether you're looking for that vintage, classic, or modern look, every haircut is finished with a neck shave and a relaxing hot towel treatment. The Classic Shave. A straight razor with a hot towel and pre-shave cream to ensure that you get the closest and most comfortable shave possible. You'll walk away feeling clean and refreshed. With three locations to serve you in Elkhart, Granger, and Notre Dame. For more information and to book your appointment today, visit thelatherandfadeshop.com. That's thelatherandfadeshop.com. Lather and Fade, the gentleman's barbershop. Oh, and do you have what it takes to learn and master the skills of a professional barber? Then the Eden Barber Academy is the place for you. To learn more, visit edenbarberacademy.com. That's E-D-E-N, barberacademy.com.
It's complementary football. Everybody has to understand what it takes to have success, right? We need every person in this room.
The captain has turned on the seatbelt light. Please take your seat and fasten your seatbelts. Thank you.
Man Bay, clear for departure.
Thank you for joining us here on the Leprechaun Connection. Here are your hosts, Mike McClure and Sean Buck.
Ladies and gentlemen of Irish Nation, welcome back to the Leprechaun Connection podcast. Mike McClure and Sean Buck here, your hosts. The email for the show is leprechaunconnection@gmail.com if you'd like to reach out to us. You can also visit our website at leprechaunconnection.com where you can find a link to our Patreon and a link to donate to St. Jude. That's leprechaunconnection.com if you'd like to support the show. Welcome, lads and lasses. We're back at it again with our good pal, Mr. Bruce Ruff from Florida. Gentlemen, how we doing? Another quick show. We're back. Christmas time. You can hear the jingle bells somewhere. Somebody's got them. But anyway.
I was doing better 10 minutes ago. I'm on Gatorade right now.
You know, we got something that would shut down where you live, Bruce. It's called snow. It's that little white fluffy stuff that falls from the sky. You know how things happen if it drops below like 50 degrees coming down the south and everybody's like, what do we do?
Oh my God, you know what we do? We got a warning today because the iguanas are falling out of the trees, dude. You'll be walking down the street, and here comes an iguana.
Thunk. Boom.
And then in like 12 hours, they get up and run away in Jurassic Park. It's like one of the little, you know, like, what do they call those?
Those can really hurt somebody, I heard. Is that true? Like they've fallen, like they're actually
hurting
people.
If it drops from a height, yeah, I bet.
They have. Like, you don't see it coming, bro. You're walking down the street down Fort Lauderdale, and all of a sudden, boom, you hit with a iguana. That things are heavy.
What was that?
Right, that's a different problem to have. Like, we have falling lizards. What do you have?
I was thinking, though, what if I put them in a crate, like a cat crate, and I bring them up to South Bend? We could sell them at the next tailgate, right?
I don't know about that, but that's...
Look, I've never cooked iguana. But challenge accepted.
With a smoker.
Right, exactly. It'd have to be.
Oh,
right?
I'm in.
Oh, man.
I'm in.
Before we get off going down a rabbit hole and let's just start before this even crashes. So, guys, Wednesday was National Signing Day. We also had, I don't want to skip ahead. Let's talk about some of the top commits for the Irish. Sean, you want to start? Bruce, you want to start? Who wants to start?
Bruce, go ahead. What do you got?
Okay. Go ahead, John. Oh, Jeremiah Love, Drake Bowen, two commits I absolutely am in love with. These guys are 100% committed to the Irish. They are 1,000% committed to the traditions of Notre Dame. I mean, they're in. You know, they believe in it. They understand it. They know that, hey, we're coming here with a reason and a purpose, and we're going to put everything we have on the line. I'm not going to listen to the outside world. I'm not worried about money. I'm not worried about NIL money. I'm here to win a national championship, and I buy into Coach Marcus Freeman and what he's trying to do. And I absolutely am stoked for those two guys specifically. On top of everybody else, this is a great class we have signed.
I would say, you know, of course, the names you mentioned, Jeremiah Love, Drake Bowen, are big. Drake Bowen is a two-way player, and he's an absolute stud. It'll be interesting to see where they want to use him, because he could fit a lot of different needs that the Irish will have next season. Jeremiah Love, interesting thing about this is he is the sole remaining running back commit that we have in the 2023 class. Now, a lot of people are like, what are we going to do? We had people leave. You know, we didn't get, was it Edwards that went to Colorado, decommitted, went to Colorado. And then we had Jaden Lemar decommit and go to Oregon. The reason why I'm not, and no one should be panicking, is because we already have a very talented backfield that isn't going anywhere. We have Audric Estime. We have Logan Diggs. Chris Tyree, I believe, has another year of eligibility. And we're adding Jeremiah Love to that mix. Calm down. It's not the end of the world if we don't get on. And they will probably check the portal, is my guess. They will probably check the portal just for maybe one more running back to flesh out that backfield and add some stability. Charles Jagusa is a huge get for our offensive line. Make no mistake, Harry Hiestand is very happy about that. And to continue down that list with offensive linemen, you've got to take into consideration we got Sullivan Absher. He's another top 300 commit. He's ranked 17 at his position in offensive tackle. We also picked up Cooper Flanagan, a tight end, who is very highly rated out of De La Salle High School. 6'5", 240 pounds, and that's before he hits the weight room.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, before he hits the weight room.
Say that again.
6'5".
Say it slower.
6'5", 240 pounds, and that's before that's before he meets the doctor, Mr. Bayless, and hits the weight room and adds about 15, 20 pounds and an attitude to go with it. That's a big bit. That's a big get. Aiden Schuler at safety, Ben Minch, I could go on. I mean, those are both good safety commits. Chris Tarek, Rico Flores at wide receiver. We definitely got some very good commits, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention Kenny Minchie. Kenny Minchie is a very, very big piece of the puzzle here, guys. Kenny Minchie is ranked 13 overall among quarterbacks, but he's ranked low, okay, at the Elite 11 camp that they had a few months ago. He was the standout. He was overall the one whose value went up the most after that camp, after that ordeal was over. Kenny Minchie put on a clinic out there. Overall, it's a good class. Micah Bell, another one at cornerback. That's a big get. But, of course, there are the people that we didn't get. And just to go down the short list very quickly, obviously Keon Keeley, that one happened a couple weeks ago. Peyton Bowen, Dylan Edwards, Elijah Page, Justin Rett, Jaden Lemar, and Cedric Irvin Jr. Cedric Irvin Jr. isn't the biggest loss in the world. He was a 3-star at running back. But if you look at that list, 3 of those decommits were running backs. Now, did those decommits happen because they realized we already have a pretty loaded, talented backfield, and it's going to be a congested group to try to infiltrate and get playing time for? Absolutely. Look at the names. Yeah, look at the names that you have there. Dylan Edwards and Jaden Lemar alone are not going to want to compete for playing time against each other, much less upperclassmen that have experience and have been there and done that. I'm not floored by those decommits. The Peyton Bowen one, that one hurts. However, he decommitted, went to Oregon, but wait, there's more. And then the drama continued well into today, where he eventually decided, nope, I want to commit to Oklahoma. Now, I'm not going to drag this kid, you know, over, you know, over fire and brimstone for making a different decision, flip-flopping. He's 18 years old, 17, 18 years old. However, that's also not the kid that we need on this team and this culture that Marcus Freeman is trying to espouse with this class. He wants kids that are committed to Notre Dame, that are not trying to chase the dollar. I'm not upset. When I look at the totality of the circumstances, I'm not upset with him decommitting. I think that was actually, we kind of dodged a bullet there.
So let's talk about all the craziness with the flip-flops.
Can I say something?
Bruce, if you raise your hand, nobody on radio hears it or sees it.
I know that. I'm sitting here dying over here. I did have some inside information get kind of squirked down to me. I do have some inside insight. There was a Zoom meeting between Coach Freeman and Bowen after he did not sign with Oregon after the commit. Rumor has it, this is not fact, that after Coach Freeman talked to him, he was trying to come back to Notre Dame and he passed. He says, look, if that's what you're looking for, we're not going to do this and that. And that's when the commit came to Oklahoma.
That sounds very believable.
I actually heard that his offer was pulled immediately after he committed to Oregon.
Yes, and there was a Zoom meeting. I know the factual part. There was a Zoom meeting between Coach Freeman and Bowen. What I don't know is the content of that meeting. I know the outcome. Freeman passed. I also know that his mother was livid when he had his introductory and he put the Notre Dame hat on. She was ecstatic. And if you've watched the video, she was livid. The minute he took it off and put on the Oregon, that was dirty. That was unexpected. And she did not agree with that at all. She's gone to Twitter. She's like, this is not where he was supposed to go. She was 100% committed to the Irish, more than he was. The fact that he bounced around, and again, we all know this, he's looking for the money. You know, Oregon actually was trying to renegotiate. That's why he backed out. He kind of talked to Freeman. He realized he messed up. He goes to Oklahoma. Guess what? You're not going to win a national championship in Oklahoma. I'm sorry, kid. And you know what? We don't need you. I'm sorry. We got the right Bowen. That's the one we got. No, and I've actually posted on our site the conversation or at the press conference where Marcus Freeman stood out and he had a conversation about the NIL. He's like, look, I know it's out there. They're recruiting free agents. That's basically what it is. He's enticing people. He goes, we're not about that. We're not going to pay you up front. You're going to earn it. And I respect that. And, you know, the fans that are out there, Notre Dame needs to adapt. Bullshit. Notre Dame doesn't need to do anything.
Tim Priester mentioned the acquisition fees, and Freeman just kind of laughed.
Yep.
He was like,
that's the word. That's the word. Acquisition fees.
No, we don't do that here. Yeah. It's kind of like, I know Sean, that. You're this probably looking for a movie reference, but there's some movie where it's like, where they laugh and like, we don't do that here. I don't remember what movie it is, Sean. You got to help me with that one, but maybe it'll come to you later.
I'll throw out a Glengarry Glenn Ross reference where he talks about coffee. He goes, coffee's for closers.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. But no, I mean, Freeman said point blank in this presser, he's like, look, we don't do, I don't know what this acquisition fee is, but we don't do that here. You know, if you want to come here, yes, we have the money to pay anybody any amount they want, but you're going to earn it.
Yep.
Yeah. He's not going to hand out $5 million to some kid. And the fact that he's leveraging that against other schools, guess what? Sorry, I don't want you. Because what's going to happen is, what happens if Peyton comes in and he doesn't start as a freshman? Guess what? Now he's in the transfer portal. He's trying to go to Alabama because he wants to run down there. He goes to Alabama, he's not going to start. He's going to hit the transfer portal again. Look at JT Daniels. How many schools
has
he been
to? This is his fourth time in the transfer portal, I believe, JT Daniels. Yeah.
It's insane.
And you make a good point. And it's something that Freeman isn't going to shy away. I'm sorry. I was going to say Freeman isn't going to shy away from this. He has created a culture and he has decided that that is going to be the standard. He's not going to allow this kind of, he's not going to allow this cancer, this plague to infiltrate his team, the locker room or the university. And it's that I stand behind him with this, because if you allow a player to be bigger or market himself to be greater than the rest of the team or the university, then that's going to completely change the culture of that program, and it's going to become a school of prima donnas. And that is not what Notre Dame is. So,
nope. I think this NIL stuff is starting to become a cancer in college football. What I thought NIL was supposed to be, and I could be just being a complete ignoramus. I thought that NIL was supposed to be if the school is, for instance, having jerseys manufactured, right? And they got the player's name on them and they're selling those jerseys in their merchandise store, their bookstore, or they're sold in at Kohl's or whatever. And a player that whose jersey is being sold, whose number and his name is on that jersey, they get a cut of that. That's what I thought NIL was supposed to be. I thought NIL would be that, in all honesty, if they want to sign autographs, if they want to have an autograph session and they want to charge people for their autograph, I thought they would be able to do that. I thought that if they could get endorsement deals where they could do a commercial for Nike or whatever and be a spokesperson for
or Gates or, Chevy or, World for or
whatever. I didn't think that it would be basically like the NFL almost where you're chasing a contract, you're chasing money. It's like a business where you're going to go play for this team because they're offering you a $5 million deal. And this team's offering you a $3 million a year, deal. And that's what it's become. And I didn't think it was supposed to be that way, but could have fooled me.
I don't think it originally was supposed to,
you know, could have fooled me. Cause I have no problem that if the coaches are making millions of dollars a year and living in these mansions and have these lake houses and drive these nice cars and the players don't get anything, but you're going to punish them because they sold a pair of shoes they wore last season or whatever, and they made some money. If you're going to punish them for that, that's a bunch of crap. But they should be allowed to make some money when the school sells profits off of their name, image, and likeness. They should be able to get a taste of that. That's what I thought it was going to be, but it turned out that might be some of it, but it's turned out to be it just exploded into this three-headed monster that's eventually going to get out of control.
And you're going to completely lose.
Well, it's going to get worse because there's no regulation. They don't have. Is there anybody speaking? There's no governing body. Is there anybody speaking on behalf of the players? Is there a representative? Do they have a lobbyist group that is
Scott Boras?
That is like, hey, you might want to helping them. Like, hey, you might want to read the fine print in this contract that you're signing first. Somebody helping these kids because these kids are getting fat paychecks and. We all know, well, I don't want to say we all know, but when you look at the lottery, any state lottery,
right?
70 to 80% of people who win jackpots in the lotteries, they go broke in 3 to 5 years. Why? Is because typically broke, poor people are the ones who play the lottery. They don't know how to manage money well. So when they get all this money, they manage it the same way they always have, and then they lose it. It's the same thing, you know. Not every kid that comes in to play college football was born in a silver spoon in their mouth. Some of these kids come from really poor neighborhoods, and you give them a big fat paycheck. What do you think is going to happen? And even a middle class kid, same thing. Say, what do you think is going to happen? You're basically setting them up for failure. Because what if they end up not being good enough to get to the NFL, or they get injured? And the NFL, you know, it's not for long. What's the average lifespan for an NFL player? What I mean, through 3 years? But you're setting these kids up for failure by giving them these high six-figure, these million-dollar paychecks, and they don't know how to manage this stuff.
Right.
And
that goes hand in hand with the fact, okay, how many college coaches have you watched go to the NFL and fail? Nick Saban, for one, goes to the NFL, can't win a football game. You know why? Because those guys are getting paid. They don't have to listen to you. They don't care. They just won't win the year. Guess what? You're gone. In college, you respect Nick Saban. You want to learn from Nick Saban. You want to get to the next level so you can make that money. That's why these guys are so good at what they do. Now you're taking that out of their hands. Jimbo Fisher is a perfect example of what's going on at Texas A&M. They had the number one recruiting class ever last year. Now the numbers haven't come out, but you know, everybody's saying they spent more money in NIL last year to recruit that class. And I believe it. 22 people in that class have already hit the transfer portal. You know, they come in with this, we're going to give you $5 million. You're going to star in a commercial for Ford. You're going to come over here and hold my granddaughter's hand for 2 seconds. Here's $2 million. You're getting the wrong kind of athlete. If you want somebody that wants to play for money, that's great. Make them earn it. I love what Marcus Freeman said. Earn it. Earn it. You come on the field. You do what you need to do. We're going to take care of you. And everybody knows that. Notre Dame takes care of their players. And NIL-wise, we're not going to miss out. But we're not just going to throw you $5 million.
It's just become this massive train wreck, and it's only going to get worse. And you mentioned college coaches who haven't done well in the NFL, and you know, many. I don't know how many people know this. I mean, if you're a diehard Notre Dame fan, I'm sure you know this. But Lou Holtz coached for the New York Jets. He was a head coach in the 1976. And he went 3-10.
Horrible.
So he had his taste of NFL, and I don't know if he got fired or if he's just like, I'm out of here.
I think he got fired, honestly.
I have no idea. But,
I can't remember. I have to look.
Well, it was almost 45 years ago. So, I mean.
I am old, buddy.
Hey, one more thing I wanted to say before we put this decommit thing to rest and all the NIL stuff. At the end of the day, you guys do realize who all Oregon lost over the course of a week.
I bet you're going to tell us.
Dante Moore.
Oh, yeah.
To UCLA.
Yep.
Peyton Bowen. To Oklahoma, Caleb Presley, who is another 4 borderline 5-star commit, I believe in the defensive side of the ball. He is a cornerback. He decommitted yesterday too. If you are going to flip-flop like that, and if you're going to chase the dollar, you're playing a dangerous game. And at the end of the day, hopefully you find the school that's the right fit for you. I'm not going to wish poor, you know, bad things on any of these athletes. These are kids. They're making decisions at 18, 19 years old that can affect the rest of their lives. So I get that. However, if that's going to be your decision going forward, you're just going to chase the dollar instead of going to the place that is the best fit for you or set you up for success later on in life. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. And so do these universities. Oregon played a dangerous game. They wanted Peyton Bowen bad, especially after Dante Moore decommitted. They wanted Peyton Bowen bad, and they had him for a couple of hours without his national letter of intent. And then he was gone just like that. So again, I think we're better off without, to be honest, because it would have brought more heartache and problems to our locker room. But moving on, what do you got for us next, Mike?
I add one more thing before we change this?
I got to pay some bills, Bruce.
I know one thing. And it's only because of Dante Moore. You brought up Dante Moore, and I got an issue with this. So Dante Moore, you know, number one recruit out of Michigan. He's one of the top quarterbacks. You know, he's crystal balled in Notre Dame. He's locked in Notre Dame. I think once, and I know this is what happened, when CJ Carr signed and committed, all of a sudden he's like, oh, okay. This kid seems like he wants to start as a freshman or bust. Okay.
So he made that clear to UCLA. Right, he made that clear. Yeah.
Yeah. And well, and I'm going to get to that point. He's, you know, Notre Dame's like, okay, we're not going to say we're not going to keep recruiting you, but we're going to bail out. You know, we're not going to press anymore. So then he turns, you know, oh, is he going to Michigan? No, he goes to Oregon. He's trying to chase the money. Oh, wait, I can start in Oregon. Bo Nix is leaving. Oh, wait, Bo Nix isn't leaving. Oh, shit. Now I'm going to bail out again. I'm going to go to UCLA. He's not playing for a national championship. You don't choose UCLA if you care about winning football games and winning a national championship. You choose UCLA because you're going to start, and they're offering you some money. That's it. If I'm that kid, I would love to go to Notre Dame. I'd love to go to University of Michigan. As much as I hate the meat chickens, that would have been a great destination for him. He's going to start. He's going to sit as a freshman. With us, he would have sat as a freshman. He would have started. He probably would have had a great career at Notre Dame, probably won a national championship. Now, he's at UCLA. He'll play for 2 years, and he's in the transfer portal. I'm calling it right now. That kid does not care about anything but money and playing. That's it. Not a national championship. And I don't want that kind of player on our team. I'm done. Rant over.
All right. All right, folks, if you want to look your best, forget about the rest and come to Lather and Fade with 3 locations to serve you in South Bend, Granger, and Elkhart. With that old school barbershop vibe, Lather and Fade offers world-class cuts. Every haircut is finished with a straight razor shave and a hot towel treatment. Visit thelatherandfadeshop.com to set your appointment today. That's thelatherandfadeshop.com. Sean, you mentioned earlier our thoughts and prayers are with the LaPointe family. You want to go ahead and go into further detail?
Well, so there's a couple of members of our admin team that have really had life has really touched them, you know, in a negative way over the last couple of weeks. And they've really been going through some difficult times. whether you're a spiritual person or not, I would ask anyone listening to this podcast to please take a moment. And if you feel so inclined, send some prayers, some good vibes, what have you, over to the LaPointe family and also to the Ferner family. They've had quite a bit go on, and especially this close to Christmas. I'm not going to get into details, but they could certainly use all the prayers and all the positive vibes you can send. And that's not something we take lightly here with our admin team, with our members, with anyone we associate with. We are not just a group that is here for clickbait. We're not just a group that posts graphics. We care about our members, and we put our members first. We care about those that are in need, and we put those things first and foremost before we chase a dollar, before we do anything else. Because at the end of the day, the people that you count on most are the people that support the group, the people that come to tailgates, the people that you get to know on a personal level. Doesn't matter if they live locally or if they live 1,000, 2,000 miles away. These are the people, these real relationships that you can establish and grow across, you know, the state lines and across the world. And that is what we've been focused on from day one here at the Leprechaun Connection. We'll continue to be focused on that. So thoughts and prayers, positive vibes, what have you, to the LaPointe and the Ferner families. We certainly hope that if you guys need anything, you'll let us know. And, you know, hope everybody has a Merry Christmas out there. That was it.
All right, the Gator Bowl tailgate, the Leprechaun Connection, is teaming up with the Notre Dame Club of Greater Jacksonville. Bruce, our main man down in Leesburg, Florida, will be hosting that tailgate. He'll be set up anywhere between 8:30 and 9 o'clock. Come out, hang out with us, have a beer, have some water. It's probably going to be super hot for us Midwest people, you know, but it's going to be cold for Bruce.
I might have a hoodie on. I don't know. 75 gets a little chilly for me.
Jeez. Oh, man. It's like below zero where we're at. And, you know, Bruce is down there sweating.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, come out, hang out, play some cornhole, have a grand old time. It's going to be great. Hopefully we'll have an Irish victory. It's really kind of hard to gauge what kind of team we're going to have, what kind of team South Carolina is going to have. But that's what we want. We want an Irish victory. We want a good, clean game, fellas. That's what we want.
Yes.
I want to throw this out there now that you got our tailgate specifics out of the way. Bruce, I've had about enough of your first world problems in winter. All right. That's, you can come off it, but it's below 70 degrees. What'll I do? I don't know. Put on a jacket.
Look, I didn't tell you about the fact I had to go take a number to get in the pool today because the line was wrapped around the corner.
I
didn't throw that in your face yet.
This is all stuff. See, like, you guys can't see this. Obviously, you listen to the podcast, you can't see this. But, Bruce, you see this? This taken from one of my favorite movies. If you know it, you know it. From Reservoir Dogs. This is the world's smallest violin playing a sad, sad tune just for you.
I'm gonna wait till tomorrow, and I'm gonna go out to the pool, and I'm gonna show you guys my sexy legs on the Leprechaun Connection. I'm gonna put a post.
I can't wait.
Deal. I'll do the same thing. Legs. I'll do the same thing with less clothes on in the snow.
Oh,
challenge accepted. Right, challenge. Challenge.
Mike, are you in on this?
You're not entertained.
If you are not offended and still like this podcast, please subscribe, rate, review, tell a friend, tell a neighbor. We really do appreciate it. It does help us out every time you subscribe and share and all that good stuff, and leave a any kind of review, I guess, a good or bad. Also, please check out our Patreon. Go to patreon.com and search the Leprechaun Connection. Just $3 a month. It's helps us kind of be goofballs in the podcast and helps support things like the, you know, tailgates and watch parties and such. It also helps keep this podcast going. Guys, if there's nothing else, we'll go ahead and wrap up before we crash and burn.
Hey, you know what? You haven't crashed all night. I'm kind of impressed.
Real quick, Merry Christmas to everyone that's listening out there. And Merry Christmas to you, Mike, to Bruce.
Yes, Merry Christmas.
Mike,
Merry Christmas.
Safe travels. If you guys do end up going, I mean, you know, the roads will probably be cleared up a little bit more tomorrow, but it's nasty right now. I'll tell you that. It is.
We are kind of toying with either Friday afternoon. And if it's still bad, we're just going to leave Saturday morning, because by Saturday morning, it should be mostly gone anyway. And we're going to stay till Monday. So heading out to Chicago.
Drive careful. Don't come to Florida. We got to plow the sand off the roads. So I don't want you to come down here and get stuck.
But all jokes aside, thank you guys for listening. Thank you for continuing to listen. Merry Christmas to all of you, to you and yours. God bless. Have a happy, safe Christmas. And we'll be back for the bowl game.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Love you guys.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas from the Leprechaun Connection. I should not have done that. All right, folks, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. Visit our Facebook page to stay on top of everything Irish. For Sean Buck, Bruce Ruff, I'm Irish Mike. Join us next time right here on the Leprechaun Connection podcast. And everybody says ho, 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 and go Irish!
Go Irish.
Go Irish.